Fan on Demand. Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Primetime Sports. Tim McAuliffe sitting beside Sid Zixero. Bobcat is probably enjoying the sun somewhere.
Can you picture Bobcat like a Speedo on a beach? Because I can't. Just one
thanks for that.
Hairy yep. mess. Mm-hmm. I would know. I'm not perfect.
Right.
I didn't do the 40-year-old virgin thing in wax. It's not the way I wanted to open this hour, but it just kind of happened.
What, talking about Bob McAuliffe and a Speedo?
I regret it. Immediately.
For those who, like me, got the visual, I apologize for my co-host today.
Sorry about that.
We'll talk to Don Cherry.
And George Strombolopoulos.
The last name. Bob Ryan's also going to join us, and Dave Smart, who over the weekend won his 10th national title in 12 years as head coach of the Carleton University Ravens, if you don't know who he is. It's an interesting story about coaching, period, because I think that we just got word that the second team All-Americans from the Sporting News included two Canadians.
Yeah, Nick Stauskas from your Big Ten champions, the Michigan Wolverines, Mississauga kid, and obviously the one most people have heard of, Andrew Wiggins,
right.
Made second team All-Star, or All-American, excuse me. The Canadian kid Edgem out of Iowa State, who won Big 12 Conference Player of the Year over the weekend, not in the top three. Does not make the first three teams, which is weird.
And so he's the Big 12 Player of the Year. He's from Toronto. Wiggins is the Freshman of the Year in the Big 12.
Correct.
We've been talking about these Canadians all year long on Tim and Sid and how good they are. Three of them, if you throw Tyler Ennis into the mix with Stauskas and Wiggins, were among the final 15 nominees for the Wooden Award given to the NCAA Player of the Year. So you wonder if all these Canadian players are making an impact south of the border. Could a Canadian coach make an impact south of the border? And right now, given the winning percentage of well over 90% that Dave Smart has, maybe he's a guy that could go down there. Does he want it? That's the question.
That's the question. I would like to ask him that. It's not the first time he's been asked this. He's asked this a million times.
Right.
But, 10 titles in 12 years. You can, whatever sport that is, whatever sport you're talking about,
right.
That usually equals, the ceiling is right here. And if you want to make the argument you've hit it, you probably hit it.
Well, to put it into context, no other school has won more than 8 in the history of Canadian basketball at the university level. He has 10 in 12 years.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
There's something about a dream team and the unveiling of the lineup for Hockey Night in Canada and the Rogers properties in this new $5.2 billion deal making some news. So we'll talk to Don Cherry and George Strombolopoulos. And Bob Ryan's going to join us at 6 o'clock Eastern from the Boston Globe. But this Irvin Santana thing is getting a little bit more...
It's been bananas from the word go from Sunday morning.
But
like, it's been crazy.
No. The argument on Twitter right now is getting a little more than I thought. Like, I don't know why the conversation is even there. Because the Jays are going after him because they realize they're in deep poop.
Alex Anthopoulos has shown, he hasn't said so publicly yet necessarily, but he hasn't denounced anything either.
No.
They're in the running for this guy because his demands finally went down after changing his agent on Friday.
Right. And so, there's a rumor online from a couple reports from legitimate sources saying that they sent a text to him.
This is no secret. Like, you're right. The argument of should the Jays go after him isn't an argument because they're going after him.
Right.
This is a thing that's happening on the planet right now.
Right.
This is not a hypothetical. So that alone should tell you what you need to know about how the Blue Jays view their current starting pitching situation.
Right.
And, I mean, Tim, for what it's worth, who the hell am I? Anthopoulos is getting played. I just think they're leveraging the Jays for off all these other teams, whether it be Baltimore, whether it be Atlanta, whether it be Minnesota, who did have the worst ERA in the majors last year.
So his new agents,
they're not dummies.
They're trying to leverage the Jays by saying, hey, are you interested, and then going somewhere else?
Because our price tag went from $100 million in November of last year.
But he flipped. He flipped agents, right?
And he flipped agents on Friday.
Right.
And I believe Jose Bautista did the same thing. I believe they were in the same situation.
Well, Jay Alou, son of Moises, split from the crew and took Jose Bautista and Santana.
It's a shady business, eh? Oh. It's a shady, shady thing.
Oh. It was like Jerry Maguire. Like Jerry Maguire got up and left, and he said, who's with me? And apparently Santana
over the phone
and Bautista
made him say, show me the money.
Apparently Santana and Bautista were Renee Zellweger. And they went with him.
Exactly. That's still a great movie.
Right.
It's still a fantastic movie.
Gizmo writes in and says, easy guys, be afraid. We get Santana. He crashes and burns. Listeners will never let you forget. All I ask is, do we get the field? Do we get the fourth and or fifth starter for the Jays if Santana doesn't come? Even if he does come, crashes and burns, will you give us the opportunity to burn back if the fourth and fifth starters don't work out for the Jays? Because I'll take that bet.
That's the issue. Whether he burns or not, almost isn't, it's not the issue.
Right.
The issue is he's there, and he's there for under $20 million. ERA under 3.5 last year on the worst statistical rotation in the major leagues. That's the point. The point of not doing anything is what we're talking about. I'm not saying he's Cy Young, neither is Tim. But beggars can't be choosers here, guys. This is not an organization that has a great standing right now. This is not an organization that can pull guys very easily. You're going to have to overpay. I don't care if you don't like it.
Well, but I don't see the downside.
You and me both. What is the downside?
Why are people so worried about a downside that neither of us can see?
Is this going to take you out of the David Price running? I got news for you. You're not in it. So don't worry about it.
Right.
Holy cow. Just like...
there's no downside. Like unless he's scribbling homophobic slurs on his eye black, there's no downside.
That's such a crazy thing. That would never... Wait a second. Okay, never mind. I forgot that one. That's also something that happened.
Right. So
what are you going to do?
You trade the guy. Yeah, you trade the guy. Get rid of him.
But the other two, like, Tim, I get fans now in an intense cap system like, say, the National Hockey League.
Right.
Or the NBA to take that into consideration. It makes sense. It's what a lot of GMs have to deal with. Tight caps. What are you going to do with the money? We're talking about luxury tax in baseball that the Jays really aren't that close to.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point? What is your point in talking about money? It's irrelevant. It is utterly, completely irrelevant.
Yeah, if there was another pitcher out there that you could throw the money at, then I'm with you. Like, you can make that argument. There's no one left. You're hurting. J-Hap can't get it over the plate.
It's ridiculous.
All right. Rob writes in and says, scarier mental image, Don Cherry in a Speedo. Well, now you've got it ruined.
No.
First, we start with McCowan, and now you walk down the road of Don Cherry being in a Speedo.
It's too much.
No, thank you.
It's too much.
So the Toronto Blue Jays will continue to look, and we'll continue to offer our advice on that issue. The Toronto Raptors are in the back end of a pretty difficult back-to-back, going from Minnesota, winning last night on the road in the Twin Cities, getting on a plane to Brooklyn to face a red-hot Nets squad that has made the Eastern Conference, however good you think it is, really interesting, because Miami's lost 3 in a row.
Yep.
Pacers have lost 4 in a row. And here come the Bulls, the Nets, and the Toronto Raptors. Does this mean anything?
It means something to me, Timmy, because there's no Patrick Patterson.
Right.
And aside from Kyle Lowry, who in many people's opinion has been the MVP of this team, Patterson's been just as important.
Mm-hmm.
Patterson's a guy, he deals with the bigs. He can defend a pick and roll. And my favorite term in sports, he can stretch the field. Let me some stretch the field. Because he can hit a three.
Right.
I thought they were in real trouble last night.
Are you talking about a fast wide receiver? Or
I'm talking about Patrick Patterson.
Right. Stretch four?
Stretch four.
Your favorite stretch four is gone, though. Andrea Bargnani was your favorite stretch four.
Yeah. He was a ruptured spleen four. The Patterson not being there last night, I thought was a real problem going in.
Right.
What happens? Steve Novak steps up, does what Steve Novak does, sets up behind that line.
What is Steve? Oh, he shoots three.
Just shoots right. three.
Okay.
He made five field goals last night. Tim, what type of field goals were all of them?
I believe they were from from the land beyond.
3-pointers. All of them. So what Patterson did for you then, Novak just comes out and he takes care of. Now, what will happen tonight where they don't miss him that much? I don't know. We're about to find out. Both those teams are tired. I mean, they both played yesterday.
Right. One at home, one on the road.
And as Butch Carter has told us a couple of times, that trip out of Minnesota is just murder. Just not a great trip. So we'll see how it goes tonight. But I was pleasantly surprised how they reacted without really one of their most influential guys since the Rudy Gay team. I was really impressed by it.
I wouldn't argue with that. Last night's victory pushes them 9 games over .500. They are there for the first time since 2006, 2007, when they won the Atlantic Division. So lo and behold, they walk into Brooklyn to take on a Nets team that is 4 games behind them. And there are many Raptor fans out there wondering if this is, one, a really big game, and two, if this is the first time you could say that Toronto was playing a really big game since Sam Mitchell rocked his S-curl on the sidelines of the Toronto Raptors.
I know you're not ripping on Sam.
I'm not ripping on Sam.
I know you're not ripping on Sam. Unbelievable. See, but he knows where we work.
But by saying that, you know that there are people on Twitter that are going to go tattle saying that Tim is ripping on Sam. And then next time I see him, he's going to go, come on, guys. You're talking about me, and I'm going to respond with, don't make me bring Vince Carter to get you up in an airplane.
Hold on.
Okay?
Hold on. None of that happened. Could have happened. Right. Who knows how the story played out.
So the Nets are tough to beat at home.
Sorry.
They won 14 of 16 at home. They've won 11 of 15 overall. The Raptors have won 9 of 11. Is this the first big game the Toronto Raptors have seen since 2006, 2007?
I would say you're right. Listen, 9 games above .500 is nice.
Yeah.
You see 10, that makes your heart sing. That's a different level.
Double digits makes your heart
double
sing.
Double digits are just like food for my eyes.
It's one more.
It's one more.
Right.
But it's double digits.
But it's double digits.
It's different. It's like there's in golf, there's between 60.
Right.
59.
Right.
Big difference.
Or 80 and 79 if you're an amateur.
For me, like you're right.
When you crack
for me,
80.
Big difference between 130
right.
Angus Glenn North
yeah.
and 129.
Right, understood.
That thing has kicked my ass more times than I can count. But I had a pleasant afternoon. The point is this. This is a huge game for the Raptors tonight. This is a team you might see. This is, I don't care how low or how high the bar is in that division. This is your bar.
Right.
And they got future Hall of Famers there. And the last time you were in that building, you stole one. Let's be honest. I think you were on vacation.
There was an injury, yeah.
You were on vacation for the Steel, right?
I watched it.
But they stole it. They're going to remember that. Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, they know what getting ready for playoff season's like. They're going to start to get in that mode probably tonight. This is a huge game for the Raps. Without Patrick Patterson, it was pretty instrumental in that last thievery.
Yeah.
This is a huge one for the Raps.
And it could be a playoff preview. And then there's a lot of people who are afraid of matchups with Chicago and the Nets because of the experience that they have in the postseason versus the experience the Raptors do not have in the postseason. So it'll be fun to watch, and I'm with you. I brought it up because I think it is a big game for the Raptors, and it's been a long time since you've been able to say with relative certainty that this is a big game for the Toronto Raptors. Just want to pass along one. Did you want to keep going on the NBA?
You know what? Remind me. I got another Raptors thing before we go off today. I want to throw one more. I want to pitch you an idea.
Yeah, I'm going to write down my notepad. I got a notepad in front of me.
Sid's got potentially amazing / disastrous
amazing
Raptors tick.
/
Write it down.
Disastrous.
Could go one of it could go one of two ways.
Did Jordan Nolan get one game? One game. Did you see the Jordan Nolan sucker punch in the Oilers and Kings game?
I did.
Did you know that Jordan Nolan during the game, guy that he sucker punched got 2 minutes for a cross check just before this scrum happened. Jordan Nolan came over, scrum happens, punches him in the face. He gets 4 minutes. So he gets the extra two for a sucker punch to the face. Gets a hearing today and gets one game. My question for you and those listening and or watching, what the hell were the referees looking at that they determined that that was just an extra two and then discipline says it's actually a game suspension?
You know, it's, Tim, funny you asked that. They just ran it for our national television audience as you were illustrating the story for all audiences.
Mm-hmm.
As it's winding down, I am thinking to myself, where are the referees now? And all four of them are within an inch away of the incident, looking right at it in an extra 2 minutes. But welcome to the National Hockey League. You're bang on. It's the most ridiculous thing ever.
They opened themselves up.
Aren't a bunch of Earl Hebner's running around there. Tibiasi, how much did you pay for the plastic surgery? Like, it's all it is. Honestly, I'm going to watch Raw tonight. It's the same thing. This is ridiculous.
What?
They're all looking. This guy just suckers another guy. And everyone's like, all right.
The best part of it is they open themselves up to this stupidity. And did you see later in the game, Jeff Carter chucks a guy and got a 10-minute misconduct?
That I didn't see.
He arrives into a fray a little bit later, throws a guy, gets a 10-minute misconduct. And I'm like, looking at this entire thing, and then you know that there's some puck guy out there going, unless you're in it, you don't really understand it.
You don't understand the game.
No, you don't understand.
You don't understand the game.
Sucker punch in the face. You get the extra two.
Played 100 games in the NHL. You don't understand the game.
Some guy throws another guy around. He gets a 10-minute misconduct. And then they look at it later and say it's a game. That's why people don't understand it. So frustrating.
There's a lot of inconsistencies with these officials. No doubt about it. By the way, Ben Scriven's near. What did he face? 50 shots again last night? Oh, we throw one out there for Benny Scriven.
My goodness.
I want to renegotiate the deal. What's he making? 4.3? Come on.
He's
going to face triple the shots of any average goalie for the next 2 years.
He's a lot of rubber.
More rubber than.
Nope. Don't.
I'm not going to say.
Nope. This is Primetime Sports.
Got trouble to score ones for that one.
We'll just let that one
go. Not going to say that one.
By the way, Henrik Lundqvist also six active goalie to 300 wins yesterday.
That's pretty good. He is two wins away from becoming the winningest goalie in Rangers franchise history, Tim. Quick trivia. Who's he about to pass?
You know what's funny is I was going to ask you the quick trivia on the other guys that had established the mark. I'll let the folks at home play along.
I'll give 10 seconds. Give me a little Jeopardy. Don't be like the Jeopardy troll who ruins the show for everybody. Everyone hates him, but I don't get he's playing within the rules. Leave him alone. So we can't just go audio daily doubles all the time? Relax.
Mike Richter?
Very good. Mike Richter. Outstanding.
Thank you.
Very good.
Mike all Richter. That whistling, I was able to look it up on the computer.
Damn you. Damn you!
That's what I do.
All right. We got him? Ladies and gentlemen, you will be seeing a lot of this man. Not that you haven't already.
Yeah, I think you already have.
The new face of Hockey Night in Canada, George Strombolopoulos. Applause.
Hello, applause. How are you?
Applause. We applaud you, George.
You're very kind. How are you, man?
Pretty good.
How are you?
I'm great. I heard that gold medal in your face, and I thought I have to work with these guys. And that rant about figure skating, and I thought I have to work with these guys.
See, I thought it was going to have the complete opposite effect.
Right.
No.
I want to go nowhere near these.
I was going to go into HR and say, no way in hell am I going near that booth. This must seem pretty surreal, does it not?
It is really surreal, especially because right now where I'm standing in front of my red chairs in the studio, and I've just finished taping three shows. So we did the press conference with Rogers, and now I'm in here, and there's a school group and an audience in here, and I'm still doing this other show. Obviously, I love doing this show. Right. So it is a bit strange. I don't think it's really set in, to be honest with you. You know, I've talked to a couple of people about it. It just kind of came pretty quickly because Mackenzie leaked it on Twitter, right? So that's what my mom.
Well, that's what Bob does, right? That's kind of his thing, right? He has to report things.
Your mom found it on Twitter?
She's not on Twitter, but she called me. She was in a bank. I got this call from some random number. I don't know why I answered it. She's like, hi. She calls me Bucky. I said, Bucky, I'm at the bank. Someone just told me that you're going to Hockey Night in Canada. Congratulations.
And you were like, oh, bleep.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm in trouble now. No, it's going to be fun, man. It's important to me, as you guys know this. I love being at CBC, and I love being a part of the CBC family, and I get to continue to do that. I knew that at the end of the season it was time to change the kind of show I was doing. I still want to do a version of a talk show in some form, but I knew that the daily, it was time to try something else. And it's rare that you're ready to move on when an opportunity like this presents itself. And I thought, man, Ron's still a part of it. Don's a part of it. You know how much I love Jeff Merrick. I go back with him. I have a mountain of respect for you guys and Millard and Kipper. And so I thought, why not step into this place for a while and have a little bit of fun? So I to be honest with you, it's surreal, but I kind of feel so lucky. I can't even believe it's happening.
You've had success most every stop, and I don't know, like, another trajectory around yours going from sports to Much Music to CBC and a quasi-political show that also had some comedy and everything else mixed in. Why'd you want to come back to sports?
I wanted to. The thing that I find the most interesting about being on TV in this country is the way we relate to each other. To be honest with you, that's the big picture. Because the idea of being a sports reporter, I didn't want to do that. And I didn't want to be a full-time sports guy, because that's just not where my head was at. But I love the way we relate to each other. And as I was thinking more and more about where that is, especially as I knew it was time for me to change it up, I thought, well, in this country, Saturday nights and hockey, that's the thing. So that's what was the most exciting thing to be a part of me. Plus, I, as I get older, and I'm 41 now, right? As I get older, I want to spend more time around things that I love unequivocally. And hockey is the single biggest part of my entertainment life. So I thought, well, why don't I just try to get paid being around hockey? And it's something you guys can relate to as well, right? You're around this thing that means so much to you. And that's what I did. So why spend time doing something I don't love? And I love hockey, so why not be around it? Plus, there's baseball. You guys own the Blue Jays. I love baseball. So to me, it is sports, but it's really about how we as people relate to each other.
So you're doing this for free tickets is what you're telling us.
I need to get court signs to the Raptors. You guys know Eric Smith, and he can get it. That's how we can do this.
This place is amazing for that stuff.
Yeah, Sid uses it all the time.
You're on the right side of it.
And I knew I was going to get lots of grief. I get lots of positive stuff, but lots of grief too, because people are like, oh my God, Strombo's trying to replace Ron McLean. I have zero interest in that. That's not what this is. Ron and Don are still doing this. I just wanted to be a part of it. Ron McLean is one of those guys that you watch on TV and think, well, he's the greatest at what he does. So I want to be around guys like that. And I just thought, well, why not just take the shot when you get the chance? These shows they become available every 25 years, right?
Right.
Did you talk to him beforehand? Was there any conversations?
Yeah, Ron and I were texting back and forth. We did. You know, he was very, very gracious. Don Cherry as well. Don Cherry, you know, pulled me aside as a friend. He kicked everybody out of the room. He said, let me tell you some stuff. He said, as your friend, let me give you some advice. And they've been cool. These guys have been really great about it.
Can he pronounce your name?
Here's the thing. Don can pronounce almost all those names. He does it for fun.
So Lalongo is a shtick.
I told you that.
Of course it is. He knows my name. And Don is so smart that he does that stuff because I think it's fun. Yeah, no, I mean, Don has been great. And I'm not going to lie to you. When I first thought about coming over to be a part of this show, I thought, oh, God, I'm really worried about how Ron and Don are going to react to it, because I want them, you know, I guess it's like you want their blessings, right? One of the gifts of growing up with no father is I never worried about anybody's validation. But strangely, I wanted Ron and Don to be okay with this. And, you know, they've been wonderful. They know how much I love the game. They know how much of a supporter I am of them. And also, they're one of the few groups of people who knows that I started my career on The Fan.
Correct.
So I started in this world, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Do you think that's why there's some of the pushback? Obviously, we're all on Twitter. We're all supposed to have our ear to the ground, or at least we have the reputation of having our ear to the ground. There has been a little bit of pushback. Do you think that people have no idea that you actually started in sports?
Yeah, they don't. I think people don't know that. I also think that this is a country that people in general are averse to change. I think there's that. They don't like the idea of change. I think there's also criticism when they don't understand what's happening. So a lot of this came up before they knew about Ron's role. And I think had people known about that earlier, it would be different. I think there's a whole group of people that just hate the CBC and anything connected to it. And I think there's a group of people that hate the fact that I'm a Habs fan. So I think you're walking into a lot of minefields here. But the thing is, and I've said this today, and I mean this sincerely, the game's the star. Like, the game is the star. People don't really care. It's about hockey. And I'll go out there and I'll do my job as a host, and I'm grateful for the opportunity, and I know how to be a host. I've done it for 22 years. I mean, I think when Ron got the show, he was 26, right?
Yeah.
I'm 41.
Yeah, you're old.
That's a long time.
You're old.
I'm old.
Yeah.
But I think the pushback has always been there. I remember the grief that Ron got when he took over for Dave Hutch.
Yeah.
The only difference is now it's Twitter, you know, and there's an element of Canada where we are kind of a bunch of haters. We're not this polite, supportive. People think we're a nice country. We're a polite country, and I think that's different.
Right.
We have a lot of haters, and we're particularly pissy about hockey. So whenever there's any change in hockey, we react. And so I'm okay with it. I think it's fine.
George Strombolopoulos from Hockey Night in Canada. We can officially say it here on Primetime Sports.
The question is, how do you guys feel about it?
How do I feel about it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pissed. I wanted a gig.
Dude, you got a brighter future ahead of you.
I never had a shot in hell. Are you kidding me?
They don't want you on the air, too.
George, oh, my God.
Way more than that.
George, they want ratings. They want me the hell away from that. George, I got to ask you, how different will Strombo, the hockey host, be from Strombo, the talk host?
No different.
No, you don't anticipate changing at all?
No, I mean, it's me, and I think, you know, they wouldn't have brought me over if they wanted me to be something else, right? So, I mean, it's definitely going to be the same me. I mean, if you think about it, I love to interview people. I'm a curious person, and what I like to do is connect the audience to what's happening in the chosen area. So this is hockey, and this is culture. I've been doing that anyway for the last however many years, and I still get to do that. So there's no difference. I mean, I got a bunch of questions people asked me today, like what I was going to wear, and I thought, oh, man, this country's so strange when that's a relevant question. But it's... You know, I'll look at the set and then I'll figure out what you got. You got to dress for the set and you got to wear what's right for the people around you. But it's really just the same thing that I've always done, which is share stories, talk about the game. It's the things that I do anyway, and I'm just jacked to be able to do it and, quite frankly, get paid for it, which is nice.
One of the things I jotted down when they told me that you're going to be on the show today was, why the hell were there so many questions about your clothes?
Yeah, I know, man. This is what I mean. I think, honestly, there's a lot of haters. I think the media hates, and I think that it's the CBC, and people hate the CBC, and there's a lot of people who don't like what I represent because they think I'm a certain kind of guy. They think that I'm, they're bringing an entertainment-based guy into sports, so they don't know my history, and that's all okay. I'm looking forward to the conversation. And again, I remember very clearly when McLean took over because I used to have a Dave Hodge tie, and I was a big Dave Hodge fan. And I remember when McLean came on, I thought, this guy's amazing.
Right.
You know, why not? Like, why not do it? So I welcome the opportunity to talk about the game that we all love, and I think at that point it'll go away. But it's really just Twitter that drives it, bro. If this wasn't the Twitter world, people would go, oh, whatever, and they'd move on.
Yeah, you're right. The host of Hockey Night in Canada, George Strombolopoulos, joining us here on Primetime Sports. I was gonna say Tim and Sid.
Ooh, almost close.
Nah, Sid gave me the eyes.
McCown will come.
Oh my God! First flight back from wherever he is.
Primetime Sports. But George, you mentioned while you're talking about you never sought validation, and yet you looked at Ron and Don in this situation, and that's because you grew up watching those guys. Do you realize?
And I worked with them closely as well.
Right. But you realize that you will now walk into that same form and have the rest of Canada doing the same thing with you.
If I thought about that, I would collapse under the weight of it. So
but
I
it's
don't.
Very cool, though.
It is cool. It is cool. But I think, you guys know me a little bit. And the more, and the people who do know me and the ones who are in my life recognize that I learned a long time ago, man, that profile is like a hot light. And if you leave it, like when it gets presented to you, your job is to deflect it because if you don't, you will burn up from the heat and it's not worth it. And I'm too old and too experienced to really pay too much attention to that. If I get this attention, I can deflect it in really cool areas. And that's why Ron's the perfect guy to do this hometown hockey show on Sundays, right? This idea of taking the game back to the community because this is what he's so good at making it about other people. And if you look at my entire career, it's never really been about me. I make the show that talks about music, or I talk about movies, or I talk about sports, or I talk about politics. I don't talk about me. The initial name of the show wasn't called George Strombolopoulos Tonight. It was just called The Hour. It was the network that wanted to change it to my name. I didn't want to change it. It's never been about me. It's always been about me making connections, and that's exactly what I want to do with hockey. So when, yes, as a result, if you're on TV every Saturday in people's homes and on Sunday in people's homes, you're going to build another relationship with them. But I think that that's actually just an added benefit to the job. But I don't think about it aside from put the work in, do the craft, honor the game, and then get out.
George Strombolopoulos from Hockey Night in Canada here on Primetime Sports. George, anyone from any other sports network in this country come calling for you over the last couple of weeks?
You mean to ask me about this?
Someone from the three letter, anyone? Like, if I get wind, if I'm from another network and I get wind, you're thinking about really diving feet first into sports.
Yeah.
I'm calling you quick. Did you get any other phone calls?
Well, here's what's interesting. Normally, I wouldn't talk about it, but seeing as that other network with the three letters had no problem tweeting about it, over a few years ago, you know, when TSN Radio was launching and when The Fan was going and people knew that I at that time that sports was interesting to me, then I was getting calls from both places, right? And as much as I relish the opportunity of working with my friend Bob over at that radio station, the Fan was my home. And I think the three-letter place knew right away that the Fan was where I started, and it's really difficult for me to not go there. I initially, before I came to this show here, when I was leaving Much Music, before I came to do the hour at CBC, I was down in the States. Actually, it wasn't in Connecticut, but I was in New York meeting with the ESPN guys, because that's where I thought I was going to go. And then on the last minute, I decided maybe ESPN wasn't the right fit. I would come here.
And how many years ago was this again, George? Do I have my memory?
10 seasons ago.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. But no, once the I think once the word came out or started to leak around that this was where I was going to get back to, I think the other letters knew that they didn't have Hockey Night in Canada. And it was important to me to still be on CBC and still be a part of CBC and still work with CBC on shows, because it's, it matters to me. And I know that CBC and Rogers have a cool relationship or something strange and neat that's developing. And I think this is a part of it. So I think they knew pretty quickly that nobody had anything to compete with this. But you know who's been awesome? Duffy. Mackenzie's great, too. I really like Mackenzie. But James Duffy's a great dude, man. And Aaron Ward, same thing. Like, a bunch of those guys said real nice things about it. So I have lots of friends who work there, and, of course, Macko's there. It's just going to be neat to be on the air with Jeff Merrick again, because my first real show was 20 years ago with Jeff Merrick on The Fan.
We were just listening to audio of it.
I was there late. Are you kidding me, though? Like, I'm the biggest Game fan there is.
Oh, I didn't know that. Seriously?
Oh, I was late at night, radio on. I don't know if Norm was done or not, but Norm was done yelling at somebody, and then you guys would come on. Was it a Saturday night, Friday night? What was the
Friday
initial?
Friday night into Saturday morning, we'd come on after Norm,
Macko, Merrick, and George. Oh, I remember like it was yesterday, man.
Yeah, it was so fun, man. It's funny when I listen to you guys, I think you are way better at it than we ever were. Like, you guys have become the epitome of what you can do in this.
Listen. Yeah, George, continue.
Yeah, flattery will get you everywhere.
100% truth. listen, George, anything else to me? We've been good to have George on today. Listen, George, congrats, man. From the bottom of our hearts, this is huge, obviously. And I don't know if you're going to wear a tie or not wear a tie or wear a jacket or not wear a jacket. I don't know what your look's going to be like on that Hockey Night desk. Whatever you decide, you will look better than Elliot Friedman.
Nobody looks better than Elliot Friedman. Oh, he's got
the gold. That is a huge, massive lie.
Had to throw the chop out. Hey, congratulations, George. Well earned, and we're glad to have you on the team.
Thank you. I'm happy to be a part of it. Thanks for having me, guys.
There is George Strombolopoulos, brand new host.
Yep.
Hockey Night in Canada.
It's wild, eh?
That's crazy.
It's wild.
For those who missed it today, Rogers announcing the Dream Team. Strombo's the host. Don Cherry, Ron McLean will remain on Coach's Corner. It will be seen on Saturday nights as per usual. Saturday nights will kind of change because you'll get to watch whatever game you want to watch, and it won't be dictated to you by whatever is on, say, CBC, because you'll have about five different channels that you can watch it on. Also, Sunday night, NHL hometown hockey broadcast. Ron McLean will work closely with that. Wednesday night, hockey is on Sportsnet. Darren Millard will be the host of that and his Hockey Central at noon. And Jeff Merrick, as Strombo was talking about, those guys go way back. And he'll host Thursday night hockey on Sportsnet 360.
And shout out to Merrick and Millard, two guys that help us out a great deal, 1-4, and have been very, very kind to us. Two spectacular hockey guys, and they deserve this as much as anyone else, so they're going to kick ass and take names.
Right.
Huge day, and we're happy for a lot of people. A lot of hardworking people had a very good day.
Hear, hear. Well said, Sixero. I can't put anything on the back of that.
Really? I'm not used to being that positive.
Don Cherry is going to join us. We'll just ask him whether or not he can say Strombolopoulos. And Bob Ryan will join us at 6 o'clock. But coming up next, Dave Smart of the Carlton Ravens. If you don't know who he is,
the champ is here.
We'll introduce you next on Primetime Sports, Sportsnet Radio and Television.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Primetime Sports. It's Monday, March the 10th. How are you doing? Bob McCowan not here. Someone had to be here in his stead. They settled on Tim and myself. Apologies in advance.
Yep. There were Jays games for the rest of the week. So we weren't going to have a show.
We were going to have a show, so they said, to hell with it.
And frankly, the price was right for the executives here.
There you go.
At Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto.
That's a solid price.
Let's just move these guys from their three-hour show earlier.
Move them up.
Into Bob's spot and disappoint everybody.
So anyone who's disappointed we're here, what are you going to do? We'll try to do the best job we
right.
can. We are going to speak to Don Cherry. Next hour here on Primetime Sports, Don Cherry was down at the CBC today, part of the lavish, can I say lavish? Was it lavish then?
The news conference? Lavish it
I don't
was,
know, maybe. Well-attended news conference held by Rogers. The first wave, the dream team, the first line of on-air talent was unveiled. George Strombolopoulos now a part of the team. Also, the big part of today was reaffirming the idea Coach's Corner, as you know it today, will not change.
Right.
It's going to be Ron McLean. It's going to be Don Cherry. It's going to be Saturday night's first intermission, wherever you are.
Right.
And that is not going anywhere. But there's a lot of change in Don Cherry's life, in and around Don Cherry. So we're just kind of curious how he feels about it. And we'll talk about NHL rule changes and all that other stuff. So Don Cherry next hour here on Primetime Sports.
In the meantime and between time, we were talking about the Canadian National Championship in university basketball, which I called over the weekend. And the Carleton University Ravens are on a run that is unprecedented. They have 10 national championships in the last 12 years. No other school in the history of university basketball in Canada has more than 8. Their head coach is about to join us and said, before we bring him on, I just need to tell you his record against the CIS in his 15 seasons.
Will I be impressed by this?
I think that's why I'm bringing it up, frankly.
I think there's an assumption there that hopefully comes through.
Now, I know numbers sometimes don't translate over radio. It's hard to picture them. But he's 464-43.
43. You're missing a number on the second one. What's his losing? No. What's his real losing record?
No, so
you told me 464-43. Right. 43.
That's correct.
There's not a zero after the three.
The winning percentage is 915.
915. Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's pretty good. Do we have him?
Yep.
All right. Let's bring on Coach Smart, Dave Smart from the Carleton Ravens. What's going on, winner?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We just so you know, we try to get Mick Cronin on to talk college sports inside a texting joke
I'm fully aware of that.
We tried. Kilpatrick's an All-American. We were talking about that, but we'll talk about Carleton winning 10 championships in 12 years instead.
Mick called me today. He said he'd take a day off the show and let the minions go on for once.
Dave, the chance to do primetime sports. You know, Tim and I, we're us, and we do the show our way. But also, you know, there's this serious asking the tough questions thing
right.
to primetime sports. So I'm gonna lay the first one out there, Dave. I'm gonna come out swinging. Here we go. Tough question coming down in 3, 2. Why are you laughing? Coming down in 3, 2, 1. Why are you awesome?
Yeah, I don't know if there's many people. In the world, I've never had to answer that question before.
Well, I'm expecting an answer.
So
don't duck this one.
I guess that is a tough question. I'm a basketball coach. You know, I think I'm smart enough to know I'm stupid, so I work hard enough to make up for that stupidity.
It's a pretty good answer.
What's the motivation at this? Like going into this year, you've won 9 of 11 national champs. Like, what's the motivation to continue to go undefeated through the regular season and continue pushing as hard as you seemingly do?
There's probably two things personally. Number one, like the kids on the team. I think our staff feels like we have to give them everything we have and not ever sort of take for granted that the past success that maybe we've been involved in, but some of them haven't been involved in, and it's a new group every year. So I think going into practice, going into the team room every day and knowing that some of these guys, this is their first time or their second time, and we owe it to them to give them as much or hopefully more because of our experience from the past. And then, you know, for me personally, it's reasonably easy just because I fear losing. I just don't handle losing very well, and I know that, so I work hard because of my fear of losing.
Coach Smart, because you lost a week before to these guys in the Wilson Cup, the Ottawa GGs. Saw it on Sportsnet. It was a thrilling, thrilling finish for the other guys, not necessarily for you. You mentioned
how was the call on that game?
It was pretty good.
Awful.
No, it was
awful.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, listen, Coach, obviously you want your guys to have an edge all the time. But I got to ask, do you think you guys are as sharp, especially down the stretch yesterday, as you were, if you didn't have that disappointment a week earlier to the same Ottawa GGs team?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because I certainly think losing helps. This group's a little different because it was such a quiet group. Like they're not necessarily an emotional group in any way, at all. And it was difficult to see a difference in mood in the past when we've lost at any point. I mean, practices were crazy. I mean, the emotion in the practice, the intensity in the practice, just the whole level of everything in practice. I mean, I had to pull it back. Whereas this week, I really didn't have to pull anything back. But I think there was a little better focus, and I think it showed up on a defensive end. I mean, I think really all year we were kind of terrible defensively. And then this weekend, in spurts, we were scary good, and during most of the games we were solid, and then usually had a good spurt in every game, if not two, where we were really, really good defensively, and I think that was probably because of more of a focus during the week.
By the way, they're the second rated defensive team in the nation this year, and he's saying that they weren't good. Dave Smart joining us here on Primetime Sports. Listen, we were just talking about three Canadian kids being named among the finalists for the John Wooden Award given to the NCAA Player of the Year. Two were named second team All-Americans by the Sporting News. Melvin Ejim could have made it four in that Wooden Award. These kids are making such a huge impact. Shouldn't coaches from north of the border be thought of the same?
I think so. I mean, I think my peers do an unbelievable job. I mean, I have to prepare against them every week, and I think these teams are incredibly well coached, and I think the development of the guys on a lot of the teams in the CIS is incredible, and I think it carries down to the grassroots level, and I think that's why a good reason why we have such talented kids from our country in the NCAA and in the NBA. And I mean, obviously there's the Raptors have helped. Steve's been a huge impact, but I mean, without solid direction and solid coaching at the younger age groups, I don't think this happens. So,
but if they're recruiting players, Dave,
I think
Dave, if they're recruiting players, how long does it take for them to start recruiting coaches? And would you welcome that challenge?
You're like 1,030 in your career. Like seriously, this is getting ridiculous.
I mean, obviously, if the right situation presented itself, I'd definitely look at it. I mean, but for me, I love what I have at Carleton. I love my players. I like how I'm treated at Carleton. I like the city of Ottawa. So professionally, as I was saying to some people yesterday, I'm not sure how professionally I could go into a situation that's better, but financially and a situation where I give more security to my family, you know, certainly the price ranges are way higher down there. So, I mean, if it was a situation where I couldn't pass up because of the financial security I could put my family under, I would definitely look at it as long as it was a decent situation. I don't think I'd find a situation that's better from a professional standpoint, but I think if I could find something close where I'm getting paid three to four times more than what I'm getting paid now, I'd have to look at it very seriously. And my family would have to look at it. I mean, it would be a family decision.
It's an interesting answer, my friend. Good thing Mick Cronin canceled on us because this was a good talk.
Thank you very much, Coach Smart. There is Dave Smart, 12 titles. Excuse me, 10 titles in 12 years. My God.
Bob Ryan and the one and only Donald S. Cherry. Next on Primetime Sports.